What's going on, y'all? What's up?
I'm Jacob.
And this is the Music Garage Podcast. Welcome. If you've not heard of us before, we teach music lessons.
Yep.
Up in Indiana. Open old Indianers.
Wow. Cool. Yeah, we have a studio here. We have a couple hundred students, a bunch of teachers.
Yeah. Good heartbeat. Cool yeah. stuff going on. We're a little different than the average bear pup. So yeah. If you haven't seen all the other podcasts or watched the YouTube videos, make sure you cycle back through there. We talk a lot about heartbeat, talk a lot about, you know, experiences we've had and how we kind of do things and move forward.
Yep.
The best way you can support this channel is to go to fortvillemusicgarage.com/the shop. Everything we do is handmade. We make everything. Well,
yeah.
Hold on. We don't knit the t-shirts. There's people that do that. We have suppliers for that. However, we do design the graphics. We do apply them to the t-shirts
yep.
and the hats and the Chuck Taylors and all that cool stuff.
Yep. I'm wearing the new hoodie.
Yeah. Vintage motorcycle.
Yeah, got dirty.
I've got like dog hair yep, all over
I
me.
Know. We both have a couple dogs and...
Yep.
Yeah.
Children and
yeah,
all kinds of craziness. So, as you might have guessed by looking at the title, this
yep.
is entitled "Let's Talk About Practice." In honor of All-Star Weekend that happened downtown Indianapolis this weekend, which Jacob was running sound for a ridiculous event down there
yep.
this weekend. Let's talk about practice. We talking about practice? Allen Iverson. If you haven't never seen Allen Iverson, if you don't like basketball, don't really care. Just get on YouTube. Get on YouTube and search Allen Iverson practice. And it is one of the most epic rants about practice ever. Because, dude, that dude could show up like hungover and just he could light it up on the court. It was nuts. But he didn't like to go to practice.
No.
So, yeah, let's talk about practice.
What are I can't practice today because I my dog got wet and it took me like 20 minutes to dry them, and then I got a new game, an Oculus.
I didn't get a whole lot of time to practice. I was real busy this week. You know, I tried though. I did it today before I came. And I had a friend come over, and I got a puppy, and I had pepperoni pizza. I don't really like pepperonis, though, so that was tough.
On Thursday, we had to go to my grandma's house, so...
On Friday, I was at your grandma's house.
It's all the dumb crap we hear.
All the time.
Every single day. Literally, had a kid came in. Oh, my gosh. Kid came in yesterday, and he goes... Thursday, we were at my grandma's house, so I couldn't practice. I was like, what'd you do Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and earlier today while you had no school? Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, I don't know.
Listen, I have a student, and she's awesome. She's really, really sweet. And she has a good amount of free time, but she's got a really tight schedule. And we crafted, she's like 15, we crafted the exact moment every day that she has nothing going on. And this is this week. I go, all right, how's practice this week? And she goes, yeah, I didn't do that. And I go, what? Oh, I go, why didn't you do that? And she goes, you know what? Silence. And then we just moved on. she just like broke.
I'm telling you. It's so funny. One kid said, I got a new puppy this week. And I said, oh, cool. And he's like 11 or 12. And I was like, so is it like it's your puppy? Like you're in charge of it? And he goes, oh, no, I don't touch that thing. And I was like... So it stopped you from practicing? He goes, I was staring at it a lot.
My favorite is, I didn't practice. I didn't know what to do.
Oh, my gosh.
To which I'd say, we have an online portal. You have materials that are in there. You have a folder. You have materials that are in there. And you also have the ability to text the portal. And you also can text Krista, who does all the communication around here. And then you can actually, this particular student has my number, which I don't do tons, but it's like, and you also talked to me this week about a video game you got. So where in the midst of all those things did you not know what to do?
Right. Right.
Listen, right. It's a touchy subject. It's a touchy subject, and we have a specific thing that we do here that I think is different than a lot of places. I'm not going to go on the record and say that this is not abnormal for other places. I would go on the record and say that what I'm about to say probably has never been said a whole lot to a lot of people in terms of practice. And so from an instructor standpoint, we talk about practice a lot being an issue. And when I say we, I'm not talking about our staff. I'm talking about what I see online and in forums. I can't get my student practice. My numbers are dropping and I've got, you know, I'm losing this student, I'm losing that student, and I can't get the parent to do what I want the parent to do, you know, to help the student. And I can't get them to want to care about it. I can't make you want to play the instrument. And I hear all those things. And I also say that all those things are cop-outs, because if you did a better job in your lesson booth, you wouldn't be having these conversations, because it does not matter if your student practices or not. Like, straight up, it doesn't matter if your student doesn't practice at all, to be honest with you. Would they get better quicker? Yeah, yep. They would. That's non-negotiable, because the more time you spend with something, the better you're going to get. However, it's your job to help inspire them to practice. And if they don't actually have the time to practice, even if it was for something stupid because of a puppy, or they just broke in the hit side of the question, that really doesn't matter. That doesn't negate their ability to get better, because they're spending 2 hours a month with you in the lesson booth.
Sure.
What the heck are you doing as an instructor that would keep them from actually moving forward?
Yep.
Most of the time, practice that they do is just noodling and jacking around.
Right.
And to that point, then we get on the issue of the parent that forces their kid to do the practice.
Okay, we need to talk about this. I'm over this conversation.
Aye, Captain.
I think I have this conversation three or four times a day.
Multiple times.
Here's the issue. Stop making your kid practice for an hour when you know their attention span cannot last more than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I had a student come up to me and goes, I was like, okay, I want you to practice. I gave him a specific time. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, well, yeah, my mom makes me practice an hour and a half a day. And mm-hmm. I was like,
why?
Doing what?
What are you doing?
What are you doing for an hour and a half a day? Because mm-hmm. you're obviously, it's obviously not helping, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, you know, I'll play these songs. I'll do whatever. I was like, no. Stop. You know those songs. You know, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need you to take the material that we worked on mm-hmm. this week, and I need you to dedicate 2.5 to 5 minutes every single day mm-hmm. of just doing that. Mm-hmm. Just that.
Yep.
Nothing else.
Yep.
Don't set a timer on your phone. Don't do any other anything. Don't play any other notes outside of these notes.
This right here.
For 2.5 minutes.
Yep.
On repeat, mm-hmm. go. And I actually made him do it while we were sitting there in the lesson. And he was like, as soon as he got done, he goes, well, that was short. And I was like, yep. And then I flipped the paper over to a blank paper and I said, now play it again. He played it perfectly. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what we need to be doing.
Yep.
Stop noodling for an hour and a half a day, or keep doing that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, don't call
it
practice.
I'm okay with you playing as much as you want. Mm-hmm. Guitar, drums, bass, whatever it mm-hmm. Is fun. Mm-hmm. Do it whenever you want. But practice mm-hmm. 2.5 to 5 minutes a day.
Yep.
Dedicated.
Yep. And that obviously can increase variables.
Sure.
Per age range, per attention span, per, you know, skill level.
To an ADHD 10-year-old. So
yeah. Here's the trouble: is that there's this sickness that happens, and it's psychological, right? Like, we as humans, whoever we're raised by, we typically repeat similar cycles.
Sure.
And unless you do something that's called break the cycle, right? And these things are studied a lot. And if you're of any type of faith, there's obviously ways that you utilize principles in your faith to sure. overcome some of those things. Or if you're just more in the self-help realm, whatever, it doesn't really matter. But any case in point, we have all grown up with things that we either adapted to and then we took on with us, and we tend to pass on to our children in some way, shape, or form until we make a decision to stop. And how many, I teach almost nearly half my schedule as adults filled with previous students, filled with adults that were filled with anger and hurt and frustration that they had never taken lessons beyond what they did because their instructor and their parent would just berate them or force them to do things. And it scarred them. And then as much as they say they don't want to do that to their children, they pass it on.
And I love that most parents, 99% of parents, just want to help.
They do.
They're doing it because they think it's right.
They do.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when the teacher has already had the conversation with the student.
Yeah.
And sees them 30 minutes at a time and knows, like, okay, if you can't focus for these 30 minutes, there's no way you're focusing an hour and a half at home.
Mm-hmm.
When we recognize that and we change our curriculum
mm-hmm.
to be student-based and to help the student every way we can, and we do everything in our power to make sure that the student not only is learning, but is learning while they're feeling loved, valued, and cared for,
mm-hmm.
and then you, the parent, force them to hate their lives in a way that makes them actually worse at their instrument mm-hmm. because now they don't have enough material to practice for an hour and a half a day,
mm-hmm.
let alone an hour and a half a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know we're going to get rebuttals on that of mm-hmm. like, well, you need to give my student more material. They're not ready.
No.
They're not ready for that.
Mm-mm.
You.
It's frustrating. And here's the bigger problem. And this is for all the instructors in the back here or for the parents that are listening. Mm-hmm. That want to refute this, your conversation about taking an instructor's direction and tossing out the window,
mm-hmm.
it kills trust.
Well, yeah,
it kills trust between the instructor and the student,
yep.
and the student and the parent and the instructor.
Yep.
Because now we have to change the way we use our time because we got to make sure that the student actually gets what they need. And then they're going to go home to you and you're now the authority over this thing that is supposed to be propelling them forward and you're actually harming it.
This is the biggest thing I've struggled with.
Because it's trouble.
I have a specific student who I told him that and he said, oh, I told my mom that you said that, and she said you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly was taken back a bit. I was like, okay, wow. Well, I sit with you
mm-hmm.
and teach you all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I know that if you tried to practice, I can't remember what the time limit was, like 45 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you sit down and do this, you're going to spend the first minute, 30 seconds to a minute
mm-hmm.
going over the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to progress into you just playing whatever song comes to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to shut your mind off and you're going to play while you're thinking about other things.
Mm-hmm.
All of which I'm cool with,
mm-hmm.
but don't call it practice.
Yeah.
And so if your mom says you need to play this many minutes a day, mm-hmm. sure, whatever, that's cool. But I need to shift your mind, shift your thoughts
mm-hmm.
to I'm going to do this lesson that we learned.
Mm-hmm.
Just those notes or those phrases or whatever.
That beat, that notation, I'm going to do
that mm-hmm. for a dedicated minute, a dedicated 2 minutes, three minutes, whatever it is. But when we force somebody to do 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, whatever it is absolutely going to kill their morale because at some point they're going to pick up a bad habit while they're doing it and then that bad habit's going to stick because then mm-hmm. they repeat that habit. Mm-hmm. And then, and for this kid's, this particular person's bad habit was they were using the wrong fingers to play the scales. So then when they jumped to the next scale, their finger placement wasn't lined up and it was super clunky and weird. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, I did it for like an hour. And I was like, well, you did it wrong for an hour. And now I have to unteach, like we have to unlearn that.
Yeah. And then you're stealing time from the student. Yep. So there's a difference between like practice and being around your instrument. And I think that's kind of where you're hedging around, which is great. Like, so like practice to me is three things. It is the new thing I learned, right? Mm-hmm. Or the old thing I learned, whatever that is. It's the review of that thing. And then it's the repetition of that thing in that thing alone, right? And the repetition of that thing alone could include some different like tear-offs. It could include dynamics. It could include tempo change. It could include different positioning, right? Those are kind of like, or like, so think of positioning, like go from a hi-hat to a ride. If I'm going from, you know, key of G to key of C, or from E string right. root to A string root, whatever right. it is, right? So, or for like cello or violin, from a pluck to a bow, or from a short bow to a long bow, whatever. But like those are the three things. And then there's being around your instrument, and that's like Netflix and chill, but your guitar's there, right. your banjo's there, you know, your ukulele's there. Like that's right. just being around your instrument is a really good thing. However, you can't call that practice.
Right.
Like, and I think that's the misconception. Like, we have to define what that actually looks like and what the goal is. And you said morale. I would say that it's going to kill for a lesson studio. You guys are instructors that are listening to this, and you want to have a long career. This actually kills the lifetime value of the student.
100%.
As far as like from a business standpoint, but also it is going to kill the student's ability to show up on purpose with as much care and concern as they need, because distrust is forming. And so, as soon as distrust forms, it's over. But, and it's not just with the student. It's then you're the parent and the instructor are now at odds. And regardless of what you do beyond this point, there is a divide that has sure. happened. And there's nothing you can do about that now, until it gets resolved.
Right. Okay, so I'm the instructor. Mm-hmm. I've said one thing. Yep. The student tells me, my mom says you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? Where do I go? Where do we go from here?
That's a great question. So I think there's a few different angles you can take. One of which is not tell your student that their parent is wrong, you know, which is really hard to do.
It's really hard to do. My immediate off the cuff thing was, I was like, well, your mom's wrong, but I cannot say that.
You can't say that because that dishonors her voice in his life, and that's not what we exist to do.
Right.
And the fact that we're having this conversation is maybe astounding to some, because I know you don't have it, because I've been around it when it didn't happen, when it wasn't my studio, or it was. In fact, I know of one, because I lost a student over this at another lesson studio who was not my student directly. I own the thing, but I lost the student. And to be quite honest, this particular conversation cost me a relationship with a family that I really love dearly, and I am only friends on Facebook now. And it really sucks. It sucks because I wasn't in the mix and I didn't handle it properly. And it was just it's a values difference, mm-hmm. right? And that's really what it comes down to is a values difference. So for you in this particular situation, and I'm not quite sure of the student. However, number one, we can't cause distrust between the student and the parent. That's just right. That's not a thing. But what we do have to do is we have to have intentional conversation about what solid practice looks like. And we can do that. We can teach the student how to utilize that 45 minutes that they are being forced to do. So what you can do is you can structure. So that's what I would do.
So this is exactly what I did.
Yeah.
So we went into a routine. I said, uh-huh. okay, so you have 45 minutes to work with. Here's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
I want you to set a timer,
mm-hmm.
and I basically told them I have two devices,
mm-hmm.
timer, metronome.
Yeah.
And I said, set a timer mm-hmm. for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do this. Then I want you to take 5 minutes
mm-hmm.
and do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was like 2 minutes of dedicated practice. Then it was 10 minutes of whatever you want. And I broke it up like mm-hmm. that to where the practice time got longer, but the breaks got longer.
Yeah.
And
that's a good way to do it. And then you can tweak that. And it honors the parent, it honors the student.
Yep.
And it honors your time because like he's directed now. Sometimes you do get force fed situations that you can't deal with.
Yep.
Now then on the back end. So that's one way to handle it.
So I also did go and talk to the parent after that.
And there it is.
And that's that. I think that was the important follow up is, and I did it in a way that the student wasn't listening. Mm-hmm. Cause that's important too. I said, hey, your student has said, you know, that they're forced to practice this many minutes a day or whatever. And truthfully, they can't really handle that. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the material to support that. Mm-hmm. What they really need is 2 to 5 minutes of like hard, dedicated practice. Mm-hmm. And maybe over time, mm-hmm. we add a minute. Mm-hmm. Or like every month we add a minute or whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like they need to know that like, the parent needs to know that when they do practice like that, mm-hmm. it's really discouraging for them too.
Super discouraging.
To continue. And in fact, to the point where the student told me, I might be done mm-hmm. for a while. And I was like, why is that? And we mm-hmm. got into it and it was like, it's just too hard for me to keep up with this practice routine, this sport, this mm-hmm. school project, this whatever mm-hmm. X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I understand that a ton.
Well, it's the language and it's the language and heartbeat. Like mm-hmm. what's the heartbeat behind why they're here? And what language are we going to use to encourage, yep. right? So, and every family's motivations are a little different. One thing that's prevalent in this area is that it's a very well-to-do community, and our reach is far because there's lots of well-to-do community around here. But well-to-do also equals lots of opportunity, and lots of opportunity sure. equals lots of conflict. And with lots yep. of conflict equals lots of trouble because then you're always managing expectations of the students, you know, physical time, their attention spans, all the things. But this is a get to, and the student yeah. needs to feel that. That's a yeah. get to. And the reason why it's a get to is because their legs will give out one day. Like your hands might give out one day.
You're going to need a knee replacement.
You're going to need a knee replacement. You're not going to be able to move as fast. You're not going to be able to jump as high. And music is still going to be here. The arts are still going to be here. Creativity is still going to be here. And it's something that they can go through their entire life with. And, you know, for, you know, horrible circumstances, a friend of mine, he lost both of his arms and he was a guitar player. But he was like, you know what? I can't play guitar anymore. But I saw this thing where I could play keyboard. Like, and I can play with my feet. And I was like, yeah, you can. Like, that's kind of cool. He's like, and you know what? I saw some modifications for like a drum set. Like, I can do a hi-hat and yep. a kick, and I can do the snare. And I was like, yeah, you can do that. And I was like, dude, the drummer from Def Leppard, he had one arm. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a whole thing. But you can take it with you despite massive obstacles.
Yeah.
And we forget that. And what we also forget as one-to-one teachers is that we have the ability to invest in our students in a much different way. And the value of them sitting here with us, with another human that is on purpose across from them, wanting the best for them, with no like preconceived notions, right? Like, and that's the thing is like, we don't have like our own like things that we want from them. Like, we want to help them just be who they want to be and give them tools to do that in the most healthy way possible. So like, we get to be their friend, we get to be their mentor, we get to hear about their bad day, we get to do all these things with them. And negative practice time at home takes away our ability to actually do that. Because you make it about the instrument. And for us, it's never about the instrument. It is, because that's why they're here. There has sure. to be an end goal. But it's not, because they're learning how to be confident. And yeah, they're learning how to be a human.
It goes back to the three pillars that we've talked about last week. Of
relationship, rhythm, and repetition.
Right.
Loved, valued, and cared for.
But it starts with relationship. And granted, that relationship, there's three versions of it. Obviously, it's, you know, the teacher to the student, student to the instrument, and the teacher to the parent. Mm-hmm. But we set the tone for that.
Yes.
And so 100%. if we are constantly at battle with the parent, mm-hmm. it won't work.
No,
it
no,
won't work.
It won't work.
It's not sustainable.
And the question is for you, Mr. and Mrs. and, you know, instructors out there or lesson studio owners, or is are you being intentional about how you approach that in general? Right. Are you being realistic about what that looks like? Are we willing to rewrite a generation of wrongs, and how we approach practice and how we were taught and how we were handled as children? And, you know, it is not the easy path forward, but it's definitely worthwhile, because then you're not just teaching a piano lesson. You know, you're not just teaching to have your hands so-so. Like, you're getting to be, you know, somebody that matters to another human, and that's far more important. It's far more important because the goal is going to happen anyways. Like, if you stick around and play piano long enough, you're going to get good. If you stick around and play guitar long enough, you're going to get good. But when you're with somebody that cares about you and everybody's on the same page, like, and you don't have this negative thing hanging over your head, because here's what happens. And here, yours is an interesting case. On the flip side of that, we have the students that never practice, right?
Right.
And whose parents are upset with them for never practicing. My answer is, it's great. I'm glad they're here. Like, let's go. Oh, what's your win? Like, what'd you do this week? What was great? What'd you do for fun? Right. What'd you do that was hard? Like, did you have anything that was hard this week? Not bad, hard. Like, and they'll think about it and be like, well, I did this. That's awesome. That's cool. What kept you from guitar this week? I got a new puppy. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's kind of cool. All right. Does the puppy play guitar? Have you tried? You know, like, and you flip it and you go like, oh, that's pretty cool. Awesome. You know what? I bet the puppy would really like to hear you play guitar. Really? Yeah. Animals love music. Did you not know that? And all of a sudden, that's a win. All of a sudden, the new puppy that was in your way and the parent was upset about is now the win, because now they might take the puppy's tail and strum the guitar strings and see what that's like. Because it won't make much noise, but it'd be kind of fun.
Right.
Right? Like, you have to give the opportunity for the win. And then the parent that was angry can now be good because my attitude about it was great.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's okay. Because they're best practice times with us, because it's managed.
100%.
That's managed. So practice doesn't have to be something that's hard. It doesn't have to be something that's painful. It can be something that's very useful and super fun. But at the end of the day, if the student practicing makes you a good instructor or a bad instructor, you're not a good teacher. I can already tell you that.
Yep. So, and as a teacher, just do your best. Tolerate everything the parent's telling you. And mm-hmm. try to work with the parent. If you and the parent can come up with a plan that you both agree on, mm-hmm. there's the win. That is the win.
100%.
The win will always be when everything lines up to make the student feel loved, valued, and cared for, not from us, but from their parent, from the community here.
That's right.
From the instrument.
It's the whole. That's the whole.
And that's it.
And that's it. And that's why as an instructor, you don't get to have an ego, and you also don't get to have an agenda.
Or if you do, you're number one, you're a bad instructor. Number two, your student's not going to learn anything from you.
Yeah, because you're too arrogant.
Or they might, and it's going to affect them, and they're going to be the next arrogant person around that.
That's true. And listen, there's plenty of those people and plenty of those instructors out there.
Yep.
And you might be listening to this going like, you guys suck. And you sure this? We probably do.
Yep,
but
probably.
That's all right. We have like a lot of value and love in our life. So we're cool. Have fun.
Yep.
No, listen, if you engage this, if you like this, you know, comment, share, leave a review.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think of this podcast. Do you like it?
I'm really
do you
curious.
Love it? What's do you your, hate it?
Yeah, what's your practice trouble? Like, what's going on in your studios?
Yeah, what are some things? Send us an email, send us a message, go to fortvillemusicgarage.com, fill out our contact form, talk to us. What can we address that's happening in our studio? Because I guarantee if it's something that's happening in your studio you need help with,
that it's happened here.
It's either happened here or it's happening here.
Currently,
And we are always on the always on the hunt to for something to make us better.
That's right.
So if you have any questions, any concerns, any comments, you hate us, you love us, send us a message, please.
Yeah, send us a message. Remember, like, share, subscribe, review, and yeah, we'll catch you on the next one.
Have a good one, y'all.
Peace.